Let's just turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. We'll just be focusing on one verse. Let's stand as we read this verse together. A simple verse. But yeah, I want to explore the whole area of God's faithfulness in this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Let's stand as we read together. For our visitors, we do have verses printed inside there so you can follow along as well. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. We'll just wait a while for some to catch up. All right, let's, are you ready? 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, ready? 1, 2, go. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the simple expression of your faithfulness. Lord, this morning we are here to sit at your feet, to hear the word of God. And Father, for us to lift up our eyes to the hills to a faithful God. A God that when he created the heavens and the earth, did not abandon man. And yet this God is there constantly, loyal, trustworthy. This God is God of our hearts, God of this universe, and one day the God of judgment. Father, today we pray that your faithfulness will be demonstrated through your word, will be touched, will be impressed on the hearts of every Christian. And Father, will all those who are not Christians, that they might understand our God is not just a God who sits up in the heavens, but our God is a faithful God. Father, we pray for your will to be done in the lives of everyone who will hear these words. Hide me behind thy cross, Lord. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up in this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You can follow along some of the verses as well, all right? So if you may not need to turn, I do use a lot of verses as with some of the preachers that come here. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Most people will say, have you ever spoken to people that all they can talk about is themselves? I can do this. My skills is like that. I can take this. And they always were talking about me, I, and myself. Solomon, when he wrote the book of Proverbs, said most people, most men will proclaim his own goodness. It's easy to talk about your goodness. In Hebrew wisdom, the second part of that verse says, as everyone talk about themselves and how good they are, but a faithful man who can find. This faithful man, we need to understand in Hebrew terms, in the Hebrew Jewish thinking, a faithful man. When you understand what Solomon is saying, you will get his idea. Many people can say they are very good, but to find a man who can stand the test, to find a man who, despite the trials and temptations, will stand strong, to find a man who will not abandon ship when the ship is sinking. I think in the recent Korean tragedy, you know, the ferry that sank, and I think they took pictures of the captain who told everyone to sit down while he was running away from the ferry. Of course, he was arrested. And the Bible says, "But we can talk about how good we are, but a faithful man who can find." And I think we all know, as good as men are, we are weak and we will fall. This faithful man refers to someone who is faithful in character, reliable in times of need, trustworthy in trials, and steadfast in difficulties. Who can find this kind of people? I'm sure some men may be found in this category, but it is hard to find. In men, it's hard to find such a person. But I'm here to tell you there's one person that is absolutely faithful in all situations. It might be a simple phrase, but our Lord Jesus Christ is a constant friend. He's a loyal friend. He's a faithful friend. He's a friend that is so faithful that you cannot define the faithfulness that He is faithful. You know why He is faithful? Because He is God. He is all faithful. His faithfulness is perfect. Stop and think about that for a while. His faithfulness is perfect. His faithfulness cannot be judged wrong or negatively because He is perfect. I'm here to tell you that God is not only faithful, He is all faithful. Oh, God is all faithful. Now, what is the meaning of faithful? What does faithful mean? The word faithful has three things in the Jewish thought: loyal, constant, trustworthy. Loyal, constant, and trustworthy. This is an important thing because when we look at the character of God, you know, there are many people who after they become Christians, perhaps the things of life were tough. Perhaps they go through certain things and they begin to ask themselves, where is God? Where is God in all this? Why am I going through? We ask questions and begin to doubt. I'll touch on that in terms of application, how we can get out of that rut. And I'm afraid there are Christians who would look at a holy and perfect God and accuse Him of being unloving. Christians, may we at Ambassador never accuse God of being unfaithful. Amen? Because He is. He is. He is. Just because we can't see something doesn't mean it does not exist. How can we see God's faithfulness? You can see God's faithfulness in four ways. Number one, God's faithfulness can be seen in His person, in His character. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, that first part says, faithful is He. Who is that referring to? The Lord Jesus. Faithful is He. That phrase simply describes God to be faithful is He. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. I'll be going through a lot of scriptures because your faith in the faithfulness of God have to be based on His word. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Let's read together. This is a wonderful verse. Ready? 1, 2, go. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Know therefore our God Yahweh, thy God, He is the Lord that made all things. He is God. He is the faithful God. Moses had to add in that adjective. He's not only God. He's the faithful God, He's the trustworthy God, He's a constant companion of all those who will love Him, and He will keep His commandments even to 1,000 generations. That is a Jewish way of saying God will keep His promises forever. Okay? That is a Jewish way of saying God will keep His promises to 1,000 generations forever. That's our God. God is faithful. The Hebrew word for faithful in this particular instance means to be firm, to be faithful, to be permanent, and get this, it includes a moral quality that God is always faithfully doing the right thing. I say again, in the Hebrew word of faithful, it's not only trustworthy, it's not only loyal, it's not only constant. There's a Hebrew twin to that, that God will always be faithful to do the right thing at all times. Now, if you understand that, your heavenly Father will always do the right thing for you. Do you believe that? God is faithfully always doing the right thing because He is God and God is good. And He is faithfully good in all that He does, even though sometimes we can't see the good. God is faithful. That's the Hebrew word. God is faithful perfectly. He is perfectly faithful. How it is faithful? Number one, He is faithful with His promises. Those are the blanks that you can fill in. I want you to see a few verses. In Joshua 23, verse 14. I like this verse. I like the part. And some of you may never have never seen this verse before, I'm sure. But in Proverbs 23, verse 14, and behold this day, Joshua said, 23, verse 14. Behold this day, I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua said, I'm going to die. And ye know in your hearts, Joshua was addressing the Israelites, you know in your hearts and in all your souls, listen to what Joshua said, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. That's Joshua's testimony as he stood before the congregation of Israel, and he says, everything that God said has come to pass. God said he's giving you a promised land. It's come to pass. Do you know what is the quality? I'll touch on it in the... I want to be careful not to jump into the application. But I want us to understand this. God is faithful with his promises. Questions for you. Is it true in your lives? True in your lives? He was faithful in the VBS. You know, as we teach the different classes, there were people who were responding. We had members who were able to share the gospel with people. We thank God for that. We don't. Our job is not to save them. Our job is to reach them. And it's God's joy to save them. But you know, we do all we can to have some people. You know, even in our... I was teaching one upper class, and it was an eye-opener. You know, some of you men need to sit and listen to the heart of some of this upper primary. And I was asking a question, how does disobedience ruin your life? There was one particular one who just opened up, disobedience have already ruined my life. And he's only 11 years old. And he was able to relate how, because of his disobedience to his parents don't like him anymore in the family. And his younger brothers and sisters always get the expensive toys, he will get the leftovers. And he's always treated, and you can see, you know, you can see the anger in a young child. We need to be there for this Christian. As Christians, we need to be there to, with the love of Christ, to be able to encourage or counsel or maybe just be a friend, to be able to touch. I'm thankful that many ambassadors, we are doing this. Keep up the good work, because, you know, we may not be able to change the world, but we can change one person's life. Amen? Just one. But you know, God is faithful with his promises. He was faithful to us. The last day was a wonderful day. It was bright. It was bright, but it wasn't very hot. It was breezy. And we had a problem with getting the headlamps and stuff like that, because we wanted the children to have a proper... Because it was the building. Okay, the theme is to rebuild. So we had a building, and Jeremiah was in a workman's suit. And then when we bought the suit, the Indian guy was saying, where you work, huh? You work at Keppel Shipyard. And then we kind of don't know how to answer him. He said, you know, a children's party. Then he was laughing. But actually, and we had a hard time finding the headlamps and stuff, because we wanted them to have the safety helmet. And then we have the headlamps. You know, sometimes the headman will have the headlamps and all that. I think there was a brethren who said, why don't we just rent a toilet as well? Rent a loo, you know, rent a loo for a complete experience. We have all the things involved. You know, God was faithful. Many people were tired. We had people who were sick, but they were still here. They were still serving. And God blessed. God blessed our efforts. And I believe that some children will be in heaven because of that. We have parents who were thankful, and how parents were wrote in. And, but you know what? God is God's faithfulness. We just did what we can. God was faithful. But you know what? God is also faithful to... Listen to this. The next one. God is faithful to stay with us in our trials. The Bible says, let's turn to Hebrews 13 verse 5. Already you can look in the verse. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Is it there? Yes. The Bible, let's read together. God is faithful to stay with us in our trials. Let's read. 1, 2, go. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like this verse. God says, be contented with your life. Be contented with your life. Be contented with what you have. That's what he says. Be contented. Let your life be without covetousness. Don't always want things. You know why? And be content with such things as you have. Because you know why? God said two things. One, I will never leave you. Christians, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. In every situation, can I say this? For a person who accused God, you will realize one thing. A backslider is always the one who walks away from God. God doesn't move from where he is. Would you agree with that? God always stays there, but for someone who would walk away from God and turn around and accuse, God has never moved. Who moved? You know why? The Bible says, I will never leave you. And when God said so, He will never lie. But you know what? The next part it says, I will never forsake you. The word forsake means when you are in the depth of your difficulties, I'm not going to walk out on you. That's how His character is when you are facing trials in your life, Christian, God says, I'm not going to walk out on you. And for those who will trust Him, you know, He never have. And for those who have difficulty trusting Him, He doesn't walk out as well. Amen? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. I want you to see this. A vivid example of how God is faithful in His person. I need to move a bit faster, but I want us to capture this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 23. Many of us know this story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children who knows the law of Moses that they are not to worship any idol. The king Nebuchadnezzar built a tall idol, and he said, when the music sounds, everyone is supposed to bow down to this golden image that he set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being Hebrew children, faithful to the Yahweh, faithful to our God, says, no way, we're going to do this. That would be disobedience. And so, some of the people accuse them, and King Nebuchadnezzar looked at it. Is it true that you three do not want to worship my image? I'll give you a chance. The next time the music sounds, I want you to worship. If you don't, I'm going to throw you inside a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God, Daniel 3, that is able to deliver you? Look at verse in Daniel chapter 3. Then later on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tell the king, King, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not concerned. We're not full of care. We're not worried to answer you. If God wants to deliver us, He can. But you know, these three Hebrew children said, we trust God so much that even if He doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to you. And so King Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the burning fiery furnace. But look at verse 23. After Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire. By the way, how many of you like fire? How many of you enjoy fire? No, it's painful. King Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace 7 times hotter to the point that those people who were responsible for heating up the furnace got killed by the fire. That was how hot it was. But you know, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 23, let me read. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. What is happening? And he rose up in haste and spake unto, did we not cast three men loose into the fire? Is it true, O king? Lo, I see 4 men loose. Guess who was it? And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Do you know why Jesus was in there? Because in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. That's what Jehovah said. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Christians, do you believe that? That when you go through the crisis, God's right there. God is faithful to stay with us in our trials. God's faithfulness also can be seen in this person when we sin against Him. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 50. God's faithfulness can be seen even when you backslide, you doubt Him, and you sin against Him. That was what Judas Iscariot did. Judas Iscariot, you know, walked with God. He had one thing in his mind. When Jesus become king, I want to be with Him. In other words, his intention was not Jesus as Lord of his life, but he wanted to rule. He wanted a position and authority. But when Judas Iscariot realized Jesus was going to be crucified, Judas betrayed Jesus. You know how Jesus treated Judas? In Matthew 26:50, and Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come, friend? Would you call someone who betray you a friend? Would you call someone who betray you a friend? Jesus did. Listen to this. That is a requirement of the God of heaven upon Christians that we are to love our enemies. Jesus showed it by example, that we are to be faithful. But Jesus was faithful even to Judas, even when Judas betrayed him. Christians, did you realize when you are unfaithful to God, God is still faithful to you? You know why? Some of you are not serving God, but God is still providing your needs. You are still alive today. You still have health. We think about ourselves more, but God says, I'll still take care of you. Because you know what? Luke chapter 6 says, God reigns on the kind and the unkind. He is a faithful God. God is faithful even when we sin against Him. In Acts chapter 18 verse 9, God is faithful when we serve Him. God is faithful when we serve in His presence. God is faithful when we serve Him. Acts chapter 18 verse 9, let me read. Paul was discouraged because as he preached, there was much opposition in the city. Guess who came? And then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. Can I ask, some of us Christians, I just want to address this. Some of you say, Brother Johnny, I cannot do it. I've learned one thing when I was a young Christian, as a teenager. There was a little songbook that my Christian fellowship had. I was about 13, between 13 to 15. And there was this phrase that was written, when we say we can't, we are saying He can't. When we say we can't, we are saying He can't. I remember that. Christians, you can. Not to boast us up, but to say that if Jesus is in us and God asks us to do something for Him, we can. Because He is with us. Paul was so discouraged, Jesus came and said, speak on, for I am with you. You know why? I have much people in this city. Satan seeks to discourage us in service. You know, we can be so easily discouraged when it comes to different things. But you know, in God's heart, I will be with you because I have a mission to accomplish and you cannot fail me now. You can't fail me now, alright? When we serve Him, God is with us. And God's faithfulness can be seen in His person. Pay attention in taking care of our future. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 11. Deuteronomy 29 verse 11. In taking care of our future. In taking care of our future. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Let's read this together. Jot it down in your Bible. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Underline it in your verse. God says, I know. The word know in the Hebrew means I've comprehensively thought through my plan towards you. God knows. God knows. God knows. He knows everything that He has planned for us. Thoughts of peace. You know what that means? In other words, I'm going to give you a future. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. If God says He's going to give us a future, if God's going to give us an abundant life, Christians, do you believe He's faithful to carry that? God is faithful in taking care of your future. God is faithful in taking care of your future. And I'm here to tell you that God is faithful in all these areas. He's faithful in His person. He is faithful. Number two, God's faithfulness is also seen in His calling of us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you. If you are a Christian today, God has called you. I want to identify three parts of this calling, all right, which is important. Number one, He has called us to salvation. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, please. He's called us to salvation. He's called us to salvation. I hope you stay with me because I'm going through the information and then in application, I'm going to draw it out and see how as Christians that applies to us in three areas, all right? So just follow it with me. God firstly called us to salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He did foreknow. If you read in the in your verse, I cross-reference it to 1 Peter 1 verse 2. The word foreknowledge means prognosis. Foreknowledge. Four means ahead. Knowledge has the idea of prognosis. You know what's a prognosis? Prognosis is when the doctor look at certain signs, and then he say, I think you will recover in 2 years, or I think you. That's a called prognosis. So God says what? For whom he did prognosticate, okay? He also did. So sorry, in the salvation, our salvation is God knew that when we heard the gospel, as we respond to his word, we are going to get saved. It's according to God's foreknowledge in the Bible. Okay? I know in the Calvinistic thinking in camp, you say, well, God has already predestinated us to be saved before the foundations of the world. That's true in Ephesians chapter 1, his election. But the process is found in 1 Peter verse 2, by God according to his foreknowledge. I want us to listen to this. If you are born in a Christian family, God has prepared the ground for you to be saved. Children, are you listening? If you are born in a Christian family, God has already prepared the ground for you to be saved. For some of you who have people, do you know why as a church we go out door by door by door by door by door by door by door? Because there are some people out there that needs God's people to go and bring them in. And that when we hear the gospel of Christ, we will respond. Do you know why we need to be busy about God's word? Because there's someone out there that need the gospel, need Jesus Christ. According to God, do you realize if you're saved, God already saw that you will come to him. If you're sitting here and willing to receive the word of God, God has already touched your heart. God is faithful in calling you. Some people would discuss it. Why God never called the tribes? You know, I don't know about you. If I'm drowning and someone saved me, I'm not going to ask the person who saved me. Hey, how come you saved me and never saved the other two person who is drowning? Would you? No. I'm just thankful that I'm saved. Yes? And if I'm saved and I'm able to, I will look out and say, hey, there's someone else drowning. I'm going out to get that person too. God is faithful. Do you realize God is faithful in saving you? Christian? Do you realize God is faithful in bringing you to heaven? He loves you and said, I'm going to do all I can to reach you. And you responded. And he was faithful in his promise. He called you to salvation and you respond. God is faithful in that. He has not moved. But not only that, he not only called us to salvation, listen, Proverbs 8, Romans 8, 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to do what? Not predestinate to be saved. The Bible says to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. It is God's will for every Christian to become like Jesus Christ, without exception. If you don't know, you do not know what is God's will for your life, I'll tell you right now, it is for you to be like Christ. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? God is faithful to do that, and he will continue to do that until you become like Christ. That's his will. God is faithful. Some of you are growing. Some of you are doing what God wants you to do, and I can feel in my heart as a pastor as well, you are growing in Christ. But Christians, don't resist the work of God in your life, because God is faithful. And can I say, when God is faithful, it means that he will keep doing it even if you don't like it. I say again, God will keep on putting the processes in your life even if you don't like it, even if you hate it. You know why? Because he knows it's good for you. Just as we will get our children to eat medicine, even though they'll try to spit it out. How many of you have tried to feed, how many of you mothers or dads have tried to feed medicine to a young child, and literally your husband have to hold the child, and then you have to syringe the, you know, fight. And how many of you have that experience before? All the hands going up. What? Is the medicine good for the child? To help the child? Yes, but why doesn't want a child? And when the child is young, is full of flesh, just don't want to take medicine. You know? But yet it's good for the child. Can I say this? And I believe with all my heart, our God is so good that even if you spit in his face, he's still faithful to you as a Christian. Even if you deny him, he says, you are my child, I will not deny you. I'll still do all I can to bring you back. That's the faithfulness of God. Israel was fighting God. I think you all know Israel was committing spiritual adultery against God. God sent prophets again and again and again to win them back. To the end, he says, no, that's enough. I'm going to judge you with the purpose of bringing you back. I say again, when God deals with us, it's always with a purpose of bringing us back because he is faithful to himself. Because he keeps his covenant of love to us. Sanctification. But you know one more thing. Let's turn to Philippians 1 verse 9. I think it's over there. Is it over there? Philippians 1 verse 9. Is there being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Christians, God is not finished with any of us. What's that? Philippians 1 verse 6. All of us are work in progress. And that's why it's important for us, when someone stumbles and falls, that we give that person, we pray for the person, we rebuke the person if necessary, but you know what? We need to have the grace to say, God is not finished with you, just as it's not finished with me. And so let's encourage one another. God is faithful because the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that when God started a work in you, he will continue to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God will not rest until you become like Christ. God is faithful in that. But you know what? He's even more faithful than that. Romans 8 verse 29. He's faithful in calling us to eternal glory. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's our sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. But in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God is faithful in calling us to eternal glory. Christians, let me say this. The verse there says, when God calls you, he's already settled your passport to heaven. It's as if you are there already. In other words, as a Christian, you are already in heaven now. Did you know that? Your place is secure, is stable. God is faithful because why? As far as God is concerned, you and I are in heaven already. You're already his child. You're in heaven already. Point number three, very quickly, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God's faithfulness is seen in his person, is seen in his calling of us. God's faithfulness is seen in his accomplishments. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When God calls you, he will also do all necessary in your life to complete what he says he will do. And as Christian, it is for us to determine the will of God in every situation. God used multiple ways of accomplishing his will in our life. Whatever God says, he will do. And I want to show you from the lives of some of God's people how God fulfilled his will. It was seen in the life of Moses. Okay, it's seen in the life of Moses. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 7, you follow along. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. What does that mean? God told Moses, I know the suffering of my people. I am coming down to save them. Did God do it? Did God come down to save them? Yes, he did. And can I tell you that in the book of Exodus, God willed his right hand to save his children. God delivered the entire nation of Israel from the strongest army in the world, the Egyptians. Why? Because he loves us. He is faithful. He says, I'm come to deliver you, to bring you to the promised land. I will. And he did that. Seen in the life of Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I've said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. God says, Joshua, when I send you to the promised land, all the way from the Mediterranean Sea, from the top, all, every place that I say is yours, is going to be yours. And you know in verse 5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. God gave that promise to Joshua. Did that happen? Yes, it did. The Bible says later in Joshua 11 verse 23, listen to the scriptures. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. That's what the Bible says. That's exactly what happened. The land of Israel is here today in the year 2014 was because of God's faithfulness 2,000 years ago. Wrong. 4,000 years ago. It was done to BC. Then you have to plus another 2,000 because Joshua was a bit late. 4,000 years. The land of Israel is here today in the Middle East because God fulfilled His promise that time. As seen also in the promise of the Savior. God promised that He will bring a Savior in Genesis 3:15. All the way when man sinned, straight away God gave His promise of a Savior. And then Matthew 1:21, Jesus came into this world. That was a fulfillment as well. Now I think all this perhaps with information, the next one, God's faithfulness is seen in your life. In Psalm 138 verse 8, let's look at that verse. Psalm 138 verse 8. The Lord, let's read it together. Ready? One, two, go. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy hand. The Bible says the Lord will perfect. The Lord will mature. The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. The psalmist David had assurance. Do you? Christians, there are some Christians living here, staying. Do you come to church? They say they are Christians. But their lives is just, after they wake up, they go to work, they go enjoy themselves, they go back home, they go to work. Their life is just revolving this way. Are you happy to live your Christian life like this? Are you happy with the kind of life? Is that the life God promised us as Christians? Or did God say, I'm come to give you an abundant life? An abundant life. Some of us, I hope not, some of us as Christians are going to go through this life just fighting for what we want. When we reach the time when we have to face the Maker in the coffin or the time that we're going to die, we look back. We cannot with confidence say with the psalmist, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You know why? Because you were not trusting God. It's possible for someone who is a Christian to don't want to walk with God. You can live your own life. But you know what? Even though you live your own life, how many of you, I don't know about you, but I know in some families, parents cry in their hearts because their children have gone astray. Everything God feels. What in God feels? I've done all I can to save these people, and all they want is rock and roll. And all they want is live for the world. All they want is choose their own career path. All they want, they don't want me. They don't want what I can give them. They don't trust me for their finances. They don't trust me for their life. They don't trust me for their career. They don't trust me. Is it possible? Sure it is. God will perfect that which concerneth me. And sometimes as Christians, sometimes we fail to see God's working in our lives. Oh, we read in the Bible, oh, God did mighty things in Moses' life. God did. Do you realize God did mighty things in the early church? Early church. Many of the church members mentioned in the Bible, some of them were nameless. I think I preached at the Filipino, one of the fellowships, many years ago, I remember one. When the Lord Jesus told the servant to go and... Remember the parables that go into the highways and byways of life. The Bible just said, Jesus told the servant. It was nameless. But do you realize that many of these so-called nameless servants are actually people like us. Just doing what God tells us to do. And God blessing us. Fulfilling the plan for us. Some of you will some of you have volunteered to teach, perhaps in the class. And perhaps for the first time, you saw something that you've never seen, how you can actually lead someone to Christ. Christians, I don't know what the Lord will do with this verse for you, but all I know is the Bible says the Lord will perfect that which concerneth you. But are you in a position to receive that perfection? I understand this from God, and I hope you do too. God cannot work with someone who doesn't want Him to work with him. God cannot work with anyone who will not submit to Him. Like a little child, I've shared before, a child's handwriting is poor, and he will continue to be poor unless he's willing to listen to the instructor to teach him how to make his writing better. Would you agree with that? Unless we in obedience are willing to submit, I can tell you your situation will continuously be the same. It will not change. It will not change. Let's look at Psalm 27, verse 13. Some of us may be in their state, but listen to the scriptures. What do we need for God to work in our life? Let's read Psalm 27, verse 13. Ready? 1, 2, go. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Singaporean version is, I have fainted unless I see and then I believe the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes? Would you agree with me? That's a Singaporean version. I have fainted unless I see and then I will believe the goodness of the Lord. Yes? Would you agree with that? Well, many Christians say, you know, I've been a Christian for so many years. Where's the blessing? I don't see it. You know what the psalmist says? I've been a Christian for many years. I believe there is blessing. And that's what David said. I had fainted unless I put faith to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's David's testimony. You see, when you come to God, you must believe that He can bless you first. Because God cannot do anything unless you have faith in Him. That's our God. That's God. Are you listening? If you ever, I hesitate to say this, if you ever want anything from God, you listen to Him first. And when you listen to Him, sometimes God may want us to give up things. God may sometimes wants to give up our opinions about certain things in order for Him to work in our hearts, for Him to bless us. And when we begin to allow Him to work, by the time He's finished with us, we don't even want the thing anymore. I remember when I was in university, I think I shared before, I wanted to do honors degree so bad. Ours was such that it was a direct honors degree. I need to get an average of 70% for every semester. You know, I worked so hard and studied hard at the point that I neglected my Bible reading. And to a point that I realized my spiritual life was going down, and I was playing basketball with my pastor, and I was sharing with him, and he said, Johnny, you just answer your own question. You know where you should place your priorities. You know, I went back that day, I confessed a sin to God. God, the honors degree is no longer my focus, but if you give me, that's fine. But you know what? I did go into the honors course. But when I was doing the honors course, it didn't really matter to me anymore. Because my relationship with God was restored. And listen to this. If I know my God, when you surrender to Him, it could just be, that is exactly what is stopping God from blessing you in the first place. And our stubbornness and our rebellion was the very thing that blocked God in giving you what you have desired all along. Because God says, I will not give you what you desire unless you are willing to submit to my sovereign hand and let me control your life. Some of you are going through tremendous trials. You know why? Because God loves you. If you're genuine a Christian, I see in the scriptures, many of the men of God had to go through it, and they come out with a shining attitude that says, even if He kills me, I will trust Him. Job chapter 23. That's the attitude God wants us to have. Many Christians, you know, sometimes people don't come to Christ simply because Christians always complain. You know why? Because we don't trust God. In Psalms 56, verse 13, the psalmist David said, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. In other words, you have saved me from hell. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living? Christians, we need to believe in what God is doing. We need to have faith in God's faithfulness. We need to have faith in God's faithfulness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Some of you, God is calling to full-time Christian service. This verse is for you. Faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it. I don't know how God was going to lead me, but I thank God that he's still leading me. I don't know how God's going to lead you. Some of you, God is touching your hearts. And we need more young people. Are you listening, young people? As your dad and moms are trying to train you up in the things of God. Education is one thing. But if your education is not a stepping stone to what God wants you to do, you are aiming your educational career in the wrong direction. I say again, you can go for all the educational certificates in your life, but if it's never to say, God, I'm going to do this because I want to honor you in some area in the future, you are aiming in the wrong direction. You are aiming at the world. You are aiming, because you know why? When you get your certificate, what's going to do? Get another certificate, right? Then get a job, right? Then what's going to happen? What is that? What is the ultimate purpose of what you are doing? It's to honor God. And so, in all that you do, it must be to honor God, not just to get the certificate, not just to get the job, not just to get the career. It is to honor God first. If God calls us to faithful Christian service, this verse is for you. Last point, God's faithfulness is also seen in his fulfillment of judgment if need be. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 10, 9, we know that God is a faithful God and he will keep his promises and commandments to 1,000 generations. But in verse 10, God says, and he will repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay them to his face. That simply means, as God is faithful to his promises, God is also faithful to his judgment. God is also faithful to his judgment. Because as a God, he cannot lie. If God says, I'll deal with you, means he will deal with us when we sin against God. And Christians, don't play with sin. God is faithful to bless us. God is faithful to deal with our disobedience too. Why? Because God loves us. He doesn't want us to be disobedient. That's as simple as it is. And that's what the scriptures teach us. So how should we respond to God's faithfulness? For those in trials, just to wrap up, for those in trials, when you say, I don't see God, when you say, I cannot see God's hand, when I say that, why is all the storms around me, I don't see God, where is he? We complain sometimes. I was thinking, you know, when we are in that situation, we are likened. Have you ever seen parents who play hide and seek with their small children? 2 to 3 year old children. The little child will walk off and play something, then the parents will purposely go and hide. And then after that, the children will play, then. Is Mama still around? Is Mama still around? Yes! Can I say this? What you need to do if you're in that situation and doubting God, you need to grow up in your Christian faith. You need to grow up. In other words, you are immature as a Christian. You don't see. Can I say this simply from Scripture? The sun is still shining even when it rains. Yes? The sun is still shining even when it rains. When God said, I will be there, will he be there? Yes, he will. But you know why we gripe? Because we are immature as Christians. We need to grow up. We need to face our trials and say, I know God's in charge. I've learned that statement from my pastor. I know God's in charge, and he is. God doesn't lose control of this universe. Did you know that? He doesn't sleep. Psalm 121. We need to grow up. Turn to book of Job chapter 23, and you see Job's experience. Job chapter 23. We'll be finishing after the last two. Job 23. We need to grow up as Christians. Job 23. Let me just read and you will see the experience of Job. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. I don't understand him. On my left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. On the left hand, I try to find him. I cannot see him. He hideth himself on my right hand that I cannot see. In other words, Job said, everywhere I turn, I don't see God. I don't see God. I don't see God. Everywhere I turn, I don't see God. But thank God, Job had spiritual eyes in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. In other words, I can be in the trials. I may not see any outroad, but I'll say this, my God's coming. My God's coming. My God's coming. Christians, I say this tenderly as pastor, you are immature if you keep saying, God has not blessed me. You are immature when you face the trials of your life and you cannot see the hand of God. It is like a 2 or 3 year old who cannot see that Papa and Mama is just standing there. Have you had that experience before? Mama is just there. Come, come. Where's the money? Where you go? We complain and gripe. Why? Maturity. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. We need to grow up and trust God that He is. Let God be God. He is faithful. He will not leave you. Do you believe that? If you cannot believe that, then why trust God in the first place for your eternal life? Christians, how should we respond to God's faithfulness to those in trust? We need to grow up. We need to grow in our faith. You know, don't be like the disciples. Remember, Jesus was in the boat. The storms were coming and they were afraid. What did they say? Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care for us? Is that a question? Sometimes maybe in our doubt and fear we ask, but as we grow up, do you realize as mature Christians, we can just say, God, I know you'll take care of me. I don't know how, but I know you have a plan. For those who are serving God, number one, for those who are in trials, we need to grow up. For those who are serving God and says, no, serving God is meaningless. I don't get any personal gain from this. And after a while, what's the point of following God? Let's turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 1, the psalmist says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Some Christians serve God, and then after a while, they feel, what's the point? You know, I know God is good, but you know, well, I'm slipping. I'm just going to stay by the wayside. I don't care. There's nothing in it for me. You know why? Verse 3, you know, there's one time I was preaching on this. I realized a key reason why the psalmist was slipping away from God in his service was in verse 3. For I was what? Envious at the foolish. In other words, your heart, instead of focusing on serving God, is as you serve God, say, quite nice. We begin to look around. And then we begin to say, what's the point of serving God? I don't get all these fun things, you know. Because I was envious. Note for those who are in service, we need to. How did the psalmist overcome this? Look at verse 16 of Psalm 73. He said, when I thought on this thing, it's too painful for me. I cannot take it anymore. What did he do in verse 17? Until I went into the sanctuary of God. You know, how do you overcome this? You need to refocus your life in serving God. You need to spend time in presence of God with Bible reading and prayer and say, God, if you are God, then I will serve you, not my own ends. For those who are serving God and think that it's not a waste, you think it's a waste of time, I've never seen a missionary on the field who trusted God and did all he could ever complain. In fact, they're always blessing God. In fact, no matter how tough it is, they're always blessing God. Why? Because you're constantly in the presence of God. For those whom God will call to full-time Christian service, you realize that God will be with you. There was a particular man, his name is John Geddy. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. He was the first, I think one of the first missionaries to this, in the land today called Vanuatu. It was in the Pacific Islands, 1848. John Geddy was a Scottish missionary who went there. They had no language, you know, they can communicate, but there was no language ever written, no dictionary, no language ever written. It was a tough thing. There were no Christians in the land. The people were savages. Ladies were degraded. The practice of killing unwanted babies was common. When a man died, his wife was immediately strangled so that she can accompany him to the next world. Okay, that was the type of life they were living. Okay, if there was a grown son, the grown son was expected to strangle the mother so that he can die and go with the husband. There was cannibalism. In fact, they believed that the human flesh is the sweetest flesh. All right, the common practice was to eat their enemies after they killed them. That was a type of culture John Geddie went to. The people were steeped also in moral degradation, meaning that they're just immorality and everything was just bad. There was no concept of a loving family, no concept whatsoever. It's always fighting, it's always selfishness, it's always about yourself. And after 24 years of toil, I just cut the whole story short, John Geddie went there, he preached. There were many experiences, if you read. After 24 years of being in that land, December 14, 1872, there was this tablet prepared in Sydney, placed in the church in the village that he ministered to. And he read this: "In memory of John Geddie, born in Scotland, 1815. He was a missionary sent from this place, Nova Scotia, in Scotland for 24 years. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left, there was no heathen. When he went there were no Christians. When he died, there was no non-Christians. God used him. It was tough. Him and his wife had to toil. But faithful is he that calleth you who also do it." Can I say this, Christians? Do you believe in a faithful God? What you believe will reflect in how you live your life. If you believe God can be trusted, we will not complain so much. Would you agree with that? But if you believe God cannot be trusted, then you will give all sorts of excuses why you don't want to serve God. I can tell you from experience, my God doesn't fail me. He has never, and He will never, because I believe He is all faithful. As your pastor, I believe that by the time I die, even I may be unfaithful to Him, He is perfect faithfulness. He will stand by me in the trials when no one will stand with us. God will. As long as we stand on His word, and you know, even if I slip on His word, He will still be there for me because I belong to Him. Christians, do you belong to Christ? Do you believe He is a faithful God that cares for you from the time you were born? Do you believe? Do you believe the very words that He speaks, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? In the Bethel Baptist Church, if you believe that, then it's time to grow up. Stop complaining about the things in our lives. Let's learn to trust God. Let's learn to obey Him where we have to. Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's a blessing. And you will grow in your Christian life if you will just stop looking at your situations and start looking at God. And we start spending more time with Him and start praying. I tell you as pastor that my heart is for us to trust Him. No man will fail. God doesn't, amen? You know, I think many of you know what I'm saying. I believe with all of my heart, God wants some of you Christians here to just stop looking at your situation, start looking at God first. And just say, "God, You take my life. You are all faithful. Help me to be faithful." I learned this: when God is faithful to us, our proper response is only to be faithful to Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for this word. I know many people are tired, perhaps, from the VBS, but I pray that, Lord, You would encourage our hearts from these words. Father, You know I don't come from this perspective of scolding or rebuke. God, just an exaltation, a challenge to our hearts that we need to grow up and stop looking at the situations. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, we need to stop living by sight and start living by faith. For what is the point of our Christian faith if we always make decisions in the flesh, going by what we see? With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Can I just ask you, has the Lord spoken to your heart about not looking at the situations? If you look at men, look at situations, men will fail, situations will vanish away. God will faithful remain. Your choice, who do you want to put your faith in? Brother Johnny, Pastor Johnny, pray for me that God will help me. God has spoken to my heart. As pastor, I don't know what it is, but God does. The testimony says, Brother Johnny, pray for me. God has spoken to me. Pray for me that I will learn to put my faith in a faithful God. Is there someone like this? Put up the right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Just put it up and put it down and then pray in your hearts. Say, God, help me to trust in the faithful God. Is there someone else? Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Is there someone else? Amen. He said, our God is all faithful. We'll preach that till the day we die because He is faithful. He has never been unfaithful. Even though in our minds we perceive Him to be unfaithful, God is never unfaithful because He cannot deny Himself. Is there someone else? Let's put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. I'll ask God to bless you and help you to have a better understanding of His faithfulness. Is there someone else? Is there someone else? All right, Father, we thank You, Lord, for the two hands that have gone up. I don't know what's happening in their hearts of the arrest, but Father, I pray for these two who have put up their hands that they will learn to trust You with their lives. In every area, Lord, that seems to be cloudy or any area that sometimes we don't even see what's happening, but yet we trust, just like a little baby trusts the mother or the father to take care of them when they're young. They don't argue, they just smile at the mom as he feeds the child. The baby is happy after that, not thinking about their next meal. Just simply trusting, trusting, trusting. God, help us to be faithful to You. Lord, I pray You help us as Christians to grow up understanding that we have to stop looking at our situation and start looking at You. Because that's Your instruction. Because in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, I pray You help us to look on You. Put our eyes on Jesus. We thank You for what You're going to do. So sing the closing hymn. You find us faithful, Lord. We thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.